Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and the 2022 Rookie Big Board is live at analyticsdynasty.com. Go to analyticsdynasty.com, the top of the page, all the way to the right. It will say Rookie Big Board, and it will be right there for you. Actually, 2022 Superflex Rookie Big Board is what the title of it is. It's there for you. So go ahead and check it out. And it's a PDF, and there's a little write-up with it. I did some different things this year than I did in prior years. So if you're new to AOD as a subscriber, or if you're new to the, you know, at any point of AOD, I'll explain to you a little bit about my process on these things and sort of why I am the way that I am. If I were to answer a Michael Scott question to Toby Flenderson, I detest rankings with venom. I don't like rankings. I have a hard time with rankings. I just don't think that. I don't think it is a. It doesn't properly reflect risk and bets and all of those things and understanding profiles and understanding ranges of outcomes and all that stuff, right? And so I like to put things in tiers. And I like to put things in tiers and then try and decide between the tiers. What type of bets do I want to make? The other thing I think about tiers is arb them, right? It's a lot easier to arb a tier than it is to arb a linear ranking, in my opinion. Just conceptually, visually, in the process of my brain, it's just a lot easier to think about that as one giant group, which maybe we're trying to get two of, or maybe we're trying to get one cheaper of, right? Instead of thinking, all right, well, I'm going from the third rookie to the ninth one. Wow, that's a big drop, right? I like to think of it as more of like a, it's more horizontal than it is linear, right? So if we're just sort of, or vertical, I guess, to contrast those. So that's the big thing with this. And so I think a lot about that in terms of trying to exploit tiers. So that is why it is the way that it is. I did rankings for 1 year, and I was actually paid to do rankings, which when you are trying to get into Dynasty Fantasy Football or writing fantasy football, like that is a cool accomplishment. And I was like, you couldn't have added 2 zeros to what you paid me and made it worth it. Like, it was agonizing. And I said, I'm done ranking. I'm just not going to do that again. And so it's the entire exercise is just very difficult. So for me, anyways, that's just not how I think. And so this is how I think. And this is the way that this is why I am the way that I am. So here's the process. Okay, tier one, class isn't very good in that tier, so we didn't include anyone. That is not a mistake. And again, I included notes in these too, so you can go ahead and take a look at them. This is intentionally blank. Without a top 10 wide receiver or first round running back, there simply is not a tier one player. Tier two includes Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, and Drake London. I didn't include notes on everyone, I just realized that I didn't include notes on Walker and Hall. I thought I did in a prior edition, so I might have to come back and actually and re-pop it. But suffice it to say that Breece Hall is a pretty good player. I don't think he's a great player. I don't think he's a transcendent player. He doesn't go in the first round in a class where no one else does. Right? It's kind of like Kenny Pickett. Again, that's not entirely fair to Breece Hall. There's some positional stuff going on there. But if you're the running back, if you go at, 34 overall, and there was two, three, four guys in front of you, right? If you're Jonathan Taylor and you're going behind other guys and you're going in the late 30s or early 40s, that says something different. And so Hall going there as the one, he's a good player. He's a good player. I think he's arbable. Can you get a 2023 first? And I've seen people try and get Connor. I've seen people try and get Fournette. I think those are interesting and savvy moves. Right? Again, what are you trying to accomplish? And I think if in the meantime you're trying to basically pace him, and you don't think he's going to be transcendent to start, and you're trying to pace him with Fournette or pace him with Connor, and then you have the liquid pick in your pocket, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think moving down the board, the problem is if you move down the board, you're going from running back to wide receiver, and that hurts. So I would be careful about that. Again, Hall would be my one. I'm willing to move off of that. And I think you might be able to do that in a way that you're not capable of later on the board, just because there's a lack of running backs. And I think there's a shortage here that might be pivotable. You know, can you get other guys, right? Can you go into the range of Connor or Fournette? Can you go even higher? Is the difference between him and a guy like Kamara, something like that? You know, can you grab future first round rookie pick in that range? Again, I'm open to all sorts of ideas, and I wouldn't, if I was there, I would look at those opportunities and I would send them out before I made the pick. Right? I would shoot high. Again, is it pie in the sky? Maybe. You know, am I trying to tell you to go find gold at the end of a rainbow? Maybe, but I've seen people have success doing it. Adam, who edits the book, got Kittle for like a mid first. Again, can you do that in every league? No. Can you do it with every manager? Probably not. Have I seen it done? Yeah. Do you get it done without asking? No. Right. So that's the thing that I with these guys, I think that Kenneth Walker. Here's the problem with this class. Okay. Kenneth Walker caught less than a ball per game in college. He's only one of three guys to have first round rookie pick draft pedigree and have that happen. And he's going in the top three of the rookie class. That's the problem with the rookie class. Okay. That's the problem with the rookie class. It's not a lead up there. Again, can you get first plus to move down? Something like that. That's my aim. The flip side of it that I think is, at some point, could I trade Hall for a first, right? Next year or whatever, right? Can I trade him for a first plus at some point in the off season? I think that's probably something that you could accomplish, right? So again, taking him thinking of him as an asset that you're trying to exit, and maybe you have ceiling concerns, and you just say, as an exit point, I can, I here's sort of my price point that I'm exiting, and I can't necessarily get it in rookie picks or in a rookie draft right now, but maybe I can in August or September, right? Or whenever, right? Whenever the board sort of strikes right for you to make a pivot that you want to make, and you have more information to do it with then, and maybe you can make that type of move then. So just because if you can't go down and get, that Connor or Fournette and a first type move right now, doesn't mean you totally rule it out. Again, I'm just using that as a paradigm, right? Guys in that sort of range and starters in maybe even 2 year windows, that if people are going to put a guy like Walker up in the top eight or so of startup ADP or startup positional ADP, might be able to make that move. Again, it might seem crazy to us, but you might be able to do that. And I would shoot for stuff like that. So that would be something that I'd be open for. And I want guys that I think have ceiling. I don't love the idea of going down to a guy like Edwards-Helaire because I'm not sure he has ceiling, right? So to comp that, to really look at those, I want to move. If I'm going to move down, I want a guy that's got plenty of ceiling this year, maybe next year, to produce top six finishes in that range. All the guys that we mentioned did. I don't want to just sort of eat innings there and get a pick with a guy like Edwards-Helaire. Like, I'd rather take the shot on some ceiling, and that's what my aim is when I'm trying to make that deal. London, I have at the top. He's the only guy that qualifies as being a top three pick by being over the average draft pedigree. It's between 9 and 10 is the average wide receiver to go in the top three of rookie drafts going back to 2008. Drake London is actually above average. So for what that's worth, he qualifies there. And the only person above that. So then you look here and you see Hall, Walker, and then the receivers. So Olave, Wilson, Jameson Williams, Treylon Burks, Jahan Dotson. So those basically seven guys, they're all above average for top six. So picks 4 through 6. So when you start looking at that, you're like, all right, well, does the class suck? Well, it sucks at the top. But it doesn't necessarily, like, the middle is actually pretty nice. Like, you actually look at it and you're like, all right, like, there's a lot of players in here that can be really interesting. One of the things that I'm interested in exploring, and I haven't yet done it because I've been trying to solidify my board, and I sort of have these conversations with myself. I call friends. It's a whole weekend-long experience. I talk out loud, right? I sort of, people look at me strangely. I'm thinking about the stuff that I want to do. And I'm like, okay, if I believe sort of the stuff that I'm putting on the board, like, how do we exploit that? Well, maybe some of it's actually trading up. And if no one wants to give a future first in a move down, right? Can you go from 106, you know, throw in a second, a future second, if it's necessary to move up to 101 and just take haul the asset and it doesn't really cost you that much? You're getting a high-end core asset in that. You're probably not getting a core asset with the first. So if you're sort of thinking in AOD hierarchy of assets, if you can do it without giving up a future first to go from mid-first up to one, I don't hate that idea. I don't hate the idea. So that would just be one thing I'd be open to, right? And I'd also be open to moving up into this range to nab two of these guys, right? To get, you know, can you stop a run on Jahan Dotson? Can you stop a run on James Cook or whoever? Like, be mindful of that. Again, I have a bunch of picks in like second round, some third round stuff. I am going to try and fire on that end of first round, sort of really early second round, because I think let's just collect pedigree. And I don't know, like, I was having this conversation over the weekend. How do we solve situation? And, you know, we could do more work on situation and all that stuff and be like, okay, well, like, here's how these guys fit. And like, oh, this is really good. Well, that's all been done. I, one of the things about AOD is, and I steal this from Dan over at the Goat District when we talk, he always says the same thing, like, humility is great. And it's true. And, like, I don't think that I can fix some of the inherent problems in Dynasty, which is, like, we don't know the fit stuff. We don't know the personality stuff. We don't know the scheme fit stuff. We don't know if guys are going to be able to process what they're being asked to do. Like, we don't know. There's 98% of their lives we don't know anything about. And we don't know if there's learning disabilities or if there's language disabilities or what, you know, whatever. Like, there's, you know, we could go on and on about the stuff that we don't know, and we can't solve for that. So one of the things that I it's kind of like trying to sell, you know, if you're trying to sell you know, fish to a meat market, right? Like, you can have the best sales pitch. You can have you can really, you know, keep honing your craft and go there every day and be like, hey, listen, like, here's the reason why you need to buy this fish, and every day we're not selling fish. We're just not selling fish. Like, we're not going to do this. And you can keep coming back and honing your craft, but they're never going to buy the fish from you. It's never going to be a problem that you're going to solve. So you just look elsewhere, right? You let someone else go there, or you go sell to somebody else. And that's really what I think about trying to determine fit in a lot of these situations. Let someone else do it, right? Go sell to somebody else, right? Let someone else make the pick. Use your energy where it's valuable. I do think in terms of, so again, and we've been bad at this, right? Justin Jefferson, if you look back at that class, would have been the fourth best situation, and didn't start week one. Okay. That turned quickly, right? When Dak Prescott's hurt and Carson Wentz implodes on himself, and Denver's quarterback situation wasn't very good, right? Like, and then all of a sudden, like, Kirk Cousins is actually one of the best quarterbacks that had a rookie wide receiver that year. It's wild how that happens. Again, a lot of things can change. That all said, I think some of the interesting stuff that, If you look at these, I think it's wild, because you can look at the top six wide receivers of this class and be like, all right, all of them have a good to high chance that they have a different quarterback next year. Mariota in Atlanta, Jameis Winston in New Orleans is probably the least likely to be replaced. Zach Wilson with the Jets, we'll see, right? Probably the second least likely. I don't know. Maybe he's the least likely. I don't know. Him and Jameis are probably pretty close. Goff, right? They're supposed to be in the quarterback market in Detroit with Jameson Williams. Ryan Tannehill is the writing maybe on the wall for him. And then Wentz in Washington. You don't feel great about any of those situations. I go in and I look, and so you have to be careful about thinking that and docking any of those guys because they all have the same problem, right? A lot of them have the same problem. Then there's two guys that have situations that are just different. It's Watson and it's Sky Moore. And on the one hand, I don't like to elevate for situation, but on the other hand, I think it matters what you're trying to hit. More and more that I see the wide receiver position, more and more I'm trying to swing for ceiling because wide receiver floor is a very solvable problem, right? Wide receiver floor is something that we can figure out. We can solve for Mike Evans, right? We can get Brandon Cooks. We can take cheap shots on Amari Cooper, Jarvis Landry, or heck, we can combine floor between multiple guys of like Will Fuller and, Jarvis Landry, and all of a sudden, like, hey, you know, neither of them exactly have jobs right now, but listen, if we blend the two of them together, we're probably going to get some enough weekly action to feel okay, right? Like, we can guard against floor in that way and protect our floor by with a whole list of strategies. And I'm going to actually do a series. I'm super excited about this. I'm going to write this for 2022 edition, but I'll test it out with some podcast stuff too. In the writing process is we're going to do a fix it series. Like, how do we fix this problem? Like, here's a host of issues at quarterback, you know, and we might even do like half measures and full measures type of thing, steal from Breaking Bad, in terms of like the approaches that we should take. But I think looking at ceiling at wide receiver, right, where there's a bunch of guys that blend in, take the guy that's different. That's kind of my take on it. Again, I look at Garrett Wilson and I'm like, okay, like, don't they kind of have that? Like, they kind of have Corey Davis and they kind of have like Elijah Moore. And like, those guys are good, but they're basically a bunch of number twos. And now they draft a guy that the lead paragraph in every scouting report is like, he's needs to start as a number two. Like, okay. Olave, I like him more, and his base rates stuff is his age adjusted base rate stuff is better. He had the early breakout. And so I like him. Again, some people, Clint in particular in the group chat, keeps pointing out the fact that Jameis Winston is a fantasy blowtorch, basically, right? He just lights stuff on fire for receivers. And I agree with that, right? That's I think, a good take. But you're trying to sort situations. How long is that the case, right? There's a lot of stuff in there. But I think when you look at Sky Moore and you look at Christian Watson, there's very real ways to say these guys have their 80%, their 90% outcome is higher than anyone else. Because like, we have seen Aaron Rodgers force feed stuff to guys, give a James Jones, who is very limited and who in his career, James Jones never had more than 890 receiving yards. That was actually in his last season. He was 31 years old. And that was actually, he came back from Oakland and played 16 games for the Packers, scored 8 touchdowns that year. He'd never had more than 817 receiving yards, never had more than 112 targets, but led the league in receiving touchdowns in 2012. Just Aaron Rodgers has that, right? Has that. And there is a real role for Watson. Does Lazard sort of masquerade as a wide receiver one? Yeah, probably. But is Watson, like, if you were to say, hey, one of these guys could be the wide receiver one for their team really early on, that role is there for Watson to take. Can he take it that early? I'm not certain. That wouldn't be something I would bet at even money, but that is there. And again, if you're looking at top 10, top 20% type outcomes for these guys, his is high. Same thing with Sky Moore. Listen, there's not a ton of commitment there. Juju's there and basically won your deal, right? And Marquez Valdes-Scantling has basically done not very much in his career. And then you look at a guy with Kelce who is good, but definitely eroded last year. And is that the new normal or is that the beginning of a decline? We'll see. But you start looking at that and it doesn't take very long to say, hey, you fast forward 12 months and Sky Moore could be a top eight dynasty wide receiver. He could be a CD Lamb type riser. Again, is that warranted? Who? I mean, we could do the CD Lamb discussion again. This is meant for the rookie big board, not for the CD Lamb discussion. But you look at that, and that's a very real possibility. And if you have questions about Juju, if you have questions about Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I do in varying degrees of those players, there's a very real opportunity for a guy like Sky Moore to blow the lid off of a dynasty value, even if maybe he doesn't necessarily get all the way there in terms of production year one, year two. Like that seems like an easy situation to pivot on. I don't know how well you can do that in Jahan Dotson. Like, I just don't know how good that situation is. And listen, maybe Terry McLaurin's traded tomorrow and my argument looks stupid. My not even necessarily my argument, some of my skepticism about how lucrative that situation is could be stupid. You know, Corey Davis could get cut in the offseason next year and Garrett Wilson all of a sudden looks, you know, 100 target rookie season for Garrett Wilson is all of a sudden like puts him in the top 15 of dynasty wide receiver or something like that. That's very possible as well, right? So you start looking at these things and it becomes very hard. But I think a couple of things are clear. If you attach yourself to a quarterback that's got the nuclear codes in terms of doing fantasy production for wide receivers, and we've seen that with Mahomes, we've seen that with Rodgers, those things have the ability to pay off really well. And in a group where, again, if you put them and you had a dice and you just threw them out and you said, okay, here's sort of the order which we're taking them, and you did it again and you did it again, like it's kind of tough to sort between those. When that is the case, I think the incentive is to take a big swing, right? And then there's other ways to try and protect some of your downside. And so that's sort of my take on this. And again, one of the good things about this is I think we know early on, we can kind of tell how wide receivers are progressing. And that's something I think we have an edge on over the market. So I think we'll get an early indication and we can kind of take a sneak peek 8, 10, 12 weeks in, whatever, and say, all right, here's the yards per route run for these guys. Like this is kind of how they're progressing. And if they're sort of lingering there or if they're really taking off, like there might be still pivot opportunities before people get a whole offseason to evaluate that. I think we can maybe act on that before the market maybe catches up either one way or another. And if we have those guys and they're not performing well in some of that stuff, right, we might be able to exit. You can exit at a trade deadline, sell to a guy who's not contending and wants to, or a gal who's not contending and wants to replenish the stock, and you can get a core asset that way, right? I think those opportunities will be there for some of these guys, and especially for Watson and Moore. I think they're super interesting because I think, you know, in 12 months, we could be having a conversation about them that's really different, right? That's really high. And I think both of them have the capability to do that. One thing I read about Sky Moore, I thought was interesting is he's only played wide receiver for 3 years. And there's a lot of growth potential there. Do you think the growth mindset and some of that stuff from Astro Ball, which doesn't include cheating, I think some of that stuff's interesting. James Cook is one that there's been some conversation about, and Kenny Pickett as well. this is basic supply and demand. Like this is basic economics. They go high because they're rare. There's three round two running backs. James Cook kind of has to go in this tier. There's one quarterback in the top two rounds of the draft. Kenny Pickett kind of has to go in this tier. Again, do I go with them at 104? No. I think Cook probably fits more towards the later part. I think a lot of the decisions that you would have, I think I would go Jameson Williams, Garrett Wilson there. I think those guys are pretty close up at the top, and then I think there's, you know, they kind of blend in a little bit after that. You could sort of start fitting Cook in there. Is cooking Dotson? Is cooking Christian Watson? Is cooking Sky Moore? I think it really matters the bet you want to make. Right? I think it really matters the bet you want to make. I think that Watson and Moore are the big swings. Again, I put those guys in the order in which they were taken, I believe, was how I put them. And you know, I think it's a question of the bet that you want to make. And is James Cook maybe a higher floor player than any of these guys in terms of production at the wide receiver position? I mean, I think in the Jahan Dotson, Moore, Watson type range, yeah, probably. And Burks too. Like, I think Cook's probably more likely to be in fantasy, more fantasy lineups. That said, those other guys I think could maybe hit a little bit higher, right? Or a lot higher. Just because it's going to be tough for Cook to really be a 15 touch a game, you know, double digit touchdown guy with, you know, 60 plus receptions, right? That's going to be, I think, hard to get for him. And as a result of that, like, there's probably ceiling for other guys that's higher at wide receiver in terms of meaningfulness and the like there. So that's really the balance that you have to make there. Again, I don't, if you want it, you could take any of them. Again, I could rechange this 6, 7, 8, 10 more times. But for me, I would go Olave, Jameson Williams, Garrett, and then it's kind of a tier break for me. I'd probably go Treylon Burks, Garrett Wilson, Jahan, and then I'd probably go Sky Moore, Watson, Jahan Dotson. But again, you could ask me that in a podcast tomorrow, and I might change my mind. So again, that's kind of how I feel. Move down the board, and they're a tier for a reason. Move down the board, take multiple shots by moving up, right? Take multiple shots in the range, and understand the bet you're trying to make. That is more of a, it's a sensitive thing for you. I think I'm swinging bigger with Sky Moore and Watson, a little bit higher than maybe I'd recommend a new person playing Dynasty to take, because I think there's a bigger miss rate. But my tagline is embrace the variance. So I'm willing to sort of swing from a high voltage power line a little bit, and that's kind of how I feel on that class. All right, tier four. I'll speed this up. I'm not going to do every single player. Brian Robinson, Rashard White, Isaiah Spiller, Damian Pierce, and Ty Davis Price. I can never pronounce his name, so I just call him Ty, which I think he goes by, so it makes me feel a little bit better. George Pickens, Trey McBride, also in this range. I'm leaning running back here pretty hard. Pickens is interesting. He feels like this is just Pittsburgh doing Pittsburgh things, just getting good wide receiver prospects later after they fall and developing them and recycle and recycle and recycle and recycle and never really pay anyone. Hey, that's kind of what they do, right? Emmanuel Sanders, right? They haven't really paid. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look, but they didn't pay Juju. They didn't pay Emmanuel Sanders really, I don't think, because he left for Denver around that time. They paid AB and then traded him, right? So they've kind of have this thing going down. And listen, Claypool hasn't set the world afire. You know, Deontay Johnson's heading towards free agency here over the next year or so. So, you know, we'll see with Pickens there. But again, he slots in as being the third wide receiver, and they let James Washington go. And this is kind of what they do. They just replenish in day two of the draft. So he's basically the next guy up. I like him in this range. Again, I'd probably take him over. If I was sorting this range, it'd probably be Robinson, White, Pickens, Spiller, Pierce, Ty Davis Price, and then McBride. That'd probably be my how I sort this out. Tier five, again, this is, I think you're taking injury away shots. Tyler Allgeier, Zamir White, Keyonte Ingram's interesting as well. Hassan Haskins. I think those guys have clear shots to be week one running back, one injury away running backs, HHGs. This is your range for Malik Willis, Desmond Ridder, Matt Corral. I don't want to take the first, I'll take the last. So I think that's my advice there. Alec Pierce, David Bell, a couple guys on day two that have some interest.
you know, in variety of different ways for them. Pierce, more of a vertical guy. David Bell was productive in college and fell because of some of the combine stuff and whatnot there, but goes to a relatively open and competitive situation there. No one blows the doors off of that situation in Cleveland. So I think he's interesting in this range. If you're playing some tight end premium stuff, guy like Greg Dulcich, Jelani Woods, Cade Otton, I think are interesting in the range as well. So those are guys. That's more two tight end. I think this is a range. If you want to just churn roster spots, take running backs and flip them over, that's kind of what I like to do in this range. If you're playing a little bit deeper roster, if you've got some, a good example of this tier is if you have a taxi squad. I have a couple of taxi squad leagues that have a whole bunch of taxi squads spots. And so if I can stash guys, stashing a Dulcich, stashing Jelani Woods or the like they have additional roster value to me by just sitting on the taxi squad rather than a guy like Zamir White, who I might want to spot start, but he's got to be on my active roster and I lose that taxi squad stuff there. So use that as a thought process for some of these guys and their usability. Same with Willis Ritter and Corral. Like, this is an interesting spot to actually take some guys that have some intrigue more than just crummy prospect profiles and throw them on your taxi squad this year. I think those are all interesting spots. Again, now you're looking kind of like third round rookie drafts for these guys. I don't think I'll be super in on quarterbacks just because we'll be undervalued. All right, going deeper here, outside of this range, again, you're getting into what, this is my tier six. You're looking third, fourth round of rookie drafts in this range. There's not a ton that I like. I mean, I think some of the guys with the running backs are interesting, like Snoop Connor, Jerome Ford, Ty Chandler. They're kind of multiple situation changes away from being an HHG, but they're interesting. Menchie's one. Wandell Robinson. I might actually take swings on those guys because I think they could be potential risers in terms of opportunities this year. So that's some stuff. I think Jeremy Rocker isn't very good, but he's a third round guy. So I put him here as well. I would collect falling pedigree, but it's going to be pretty late. Daniel Bellinger, Charlie Kohler as well at the tight end position. Sam Howell, right, deserves maybe a shot in there as well. And then the bottom one, the bottom tier, it's more guys that I would just be kind of watching than I would really be rostering. And I think, you know, if you're in this range, you know, again, these are more stash guys on taxi squads. You're just looking for running back flip situations and the like there. So those would be kind of my takes on the position. So I hope this is helpful. I'll have more rookie draft content here throughout the week. I don't draft for a few days, so I'm just going to sit and keep preparing. This is going to be great. So send in your takeaways, send in your references. I'm super interested to hear them. And good luck on all your rookie drafts. And I hope this is helpful. Again, this is sort of my process to go for it. And this is how this is a lot of how my law school notes looked. So sorry about that. This is where I learned my mania. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this edition. And until next time, kick butt in your rookie drafts and we'll talk again very soon.